Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to the program. I am Bob Gibson, and we thank you for joining us once again this week. Later on in the program, we will talk to Les Lukacs. He is the state director with PrepBaseballReport.com. We're going to talk Trinity League Baseball, and this is that time of year, man. If you're a baseball fan, you got to be loving it right now. We'll also talk in a couple of minutes with Tia Meza. She's the athletic director at Modern Day High School. Lots of big stuff going on at Modern Day, as always. We always know that. But let's start the show this week by welcoming in the head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School, the defending Trinity League champions, Don Barbara. Coach, thanks for joining us once again here on Catholic Sports View.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I want to talk some Braves baseball as the league continues on now for you guys. I've talked to some of the other coaches in the Trinity so far, and it's always everything pointing towards league because this is really the toughest part of the schedule, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we try and prepare ourselves in tournaments that, you know, are pretty good, like the National Classic, or we try and play good Division I teams, Damien and Gar and guys like that, to prepare us for this gauntlet of a league every day. It's like playing in the SEC all the time, every weekend.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. I mean,
that's why I think, you know, our teams do so well against each other in conference, because they've prepared each other and they know it's going to be tough. And the only way to prepare these kids is to play good outside competition outside the league to get yourself ready, because you've got 5 weeks of just straight tough games and meaningful games. I mean, because everything's so based off league, it's, you know, it's a fight every night.
Yeah, it's so true. Talking to basketball coaches and football coaches within Trinity, sometimes that's hard to get a non-league schedule together that can simulate that, but it's not that hard in baseball because, as we know, Southern California, we talk about there's no divide really between the public-private here. You know, there's just great baseball programs from top to bottom. It's not hard to find a good baseball team to play in this area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go anywhere and find a great team. I mean, that's the good thing around us. I mean, there's so many good teams of Harvard, Westlake, and Notre Dame, and Cypress, and, you know, El Dorado. I mean, the list goes on and on outside our conference, and that's the good thing about being in these tournaments, the Boris Classic or the National Classic, because you get to play them. And, you know, we got to play IMG this year, which was a very good team in the National Classic. It's pretty simple, but it does get you prepared for this league that we're in.
But it just goes to show you, though, in this league, maybe you have, you know, some of those great guys. Look, we went into league last year when we talked to you. We had no idea Orange Lutheran was supposed to be the favorite going in last year, and you guys, you know, just blasted everybody and went on to win the Trinity League. So, the point is, in this league, you never know. Top to bottom, anybody could win this league.
Exactly, especially this year. This year's so up in the air, as you can see already. I mean, to sit there and see Mater Dei 0-3 and Santa Margarita 3-0, I mean, someone's always going to be 2-1 or 1-2, like we are in Servite, or 1-2. Played three tough games. I mean, Servite played three tough games against Jay Sparrow, and we played three tough games against Orange Lou. It just goes to show you how deep this conference is, and I just think it's so even this year. You know, everybody has their own niche. I think Orange Lou has probably the best pitching overall. I mean, every one of their guys, it was kind of like us last year. They kind of like have our pitching. They got guys coming out of the pen. They got guys starting that, you know, are 90-plus. And I think Servite has the best team in the sense of pitching, defense, hitting, having it all together. I mean, it's just really weird. And Jay Sarah's playing excellent baseball, winning the Boris Classic. Oh, it's just a tough league, and it's very competitive and very even, I think, this year.
Don Barber joining us this week on Catholic Sports. You head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. The Braves out of the chute here, 1-2 in league. You had the three-game series against Orange Lutheran. Was there any advantage to the kids coming back, to the program in general, to winning the league last year? Did that do anything for the kids or for the program?
Well, I think last year kind of got us over the hump. I think my first 2 years and even before that, I didn't think our guys really believed that we can win. And be competitive against the likes of Modern Day or Orange Lou or Jay Sarah. You know, I don't think they really had it. And to be honest with you, Coach Negro came and actually talked to my team last year and said, hey, you got to let that go. You play your game. He goes, we were the same way, and we had to break that. It's a mentality. You guys have a good culture here and did all this stuff. And our guys believed it, and we went out and did it. And so I think the returners that we have understand that. I don't think the new kids, the young kids that we have a lot of, understand that quite yet. But the returners have tried to let them know, hey, it's no big deal. We can beat Mother Day. We did it last year. We beat Jay Sarah last year. We beat Orange Lou last year. Don't worry about it. So I think last year kind of got us over the hump, and I think hopefully this year we just didn't play very well. Our last two games, we kind of gave our second game away, and we were up 1-0 on Friday, and we've decided to not pitch very well the sixth inning, and gave that game away.
Is it tough to turn around? You know, you said obviously you want to start. You know, every game means a lot because it's kind of everything is magnified. But is it tough to turn around a 1-2 start or whatever? Or is it just, hey, getting right back out and, hey, we got 3 with Modern Day coming up?
Exactly. I mean, 1-2 is nothing. I don't feel it's that big of a deal. I really believe if we come out, and my big thing is with our team is, one, we want to win game one of every series. That's our first goal. The second goal is to win the series. The third goal is if we can get a sweep. We just don't ever want to be swept. That's the big thing. That's where you get yourself in trouble, is getting swept by a ball club, you know, because it really puts you behind. You know, we're only one game back behind everybody else except Santa Margarita. But if we can come back on tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon against Modern Day and win, we're 2-2. We're back in it. We're where we need to be. And we move on to the next game, you know, and see what happens there. But, you know, our first goal is to come back. I think these guys are fine. I think they felt that it was a tough loss on Friday, but they'll be ready to go today. We'll have a practice and, you know, get prepared for Modern Day for tomorrow afternoon.
Don Barber's, I guess, this week, head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. Is momentum a huge thing at all? You know, Jay Sarah, you know, kind of a young team, kind of moving along. And then, like you said, they won the Boris Classic, and boom, they've just sort of, you know, just sprouted from there. Here's Santa Margarita, a team that nobody kind of expected a lot from. Boom, right out of the gate in league here. Here's Santa Margarita, you know, kind of showing up and doing their thing. Can you take a momentum early like that in league and winning some games and make that really, you know, shine through the rest of the schedule?
You can, but again, with this league, I think it's so even. I mean, this week, Santa Margarita's got to play Servite, who's a really good team.
Yeah.
They're going to beat each other up. Jay Sarah's got to play Orange Lou. That's going to be a dogfight, you know, and we got Modern Day. I mean, it all depends on how it goes and who comes out ready to play and who gets, you know, who has good pitching that day or who has good defense or offensively. I mean, momentum's going to help, and you know, confidence is going to help, and I think that's where we're lacking just a little bit on the offensive side of it, is confidence and believing. But if, you know, if a team has it and they're believing like we did last year, you know, it can take you a long way, especially if you win day one.
Yeah, right. It's so true, right? Yeah, that's the hardest win, right, is getting that first game of the series, right?
yeah, and that's the one we strive for. I mean, that's a big one. We want to win game one. That's a big deal.
Do you see a renewed interest in the program at all? I mean, and not, that's not to say that it fell off at all, but you know what I mean? You know, there's obviously within the great teams in the Trinity, there's a battle for the talent, you know, to get kids to come and be part of your program. Do you see maybe more kids showing interest in coming to Bosco and wanting to be part of the Braves program?
Yeah, I do. I see it in our younger classes. You know, our sophomore class is pretty good. Our freshman class is okay this year. I mean, we got a lot of talent. They're not playing well together right now, but they got a lot of talent. And, you know, from my understanding, the kids that are coming in next year, we got a hell of a class coming in next year from the kids that have told me they're coming in. They're doing this. They're really good ball players. I'm kind of different because of my location compared to everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
I think Orange Lou, Modern Day, Jay Sarah, Santa Margarita, Servite, they're all fighting for all those kids in the South Orange County. I'm not in there,
yeah.
You know. I kind of stay away, and I'm more into L.A. County and out in here and Long Beach area, and which we love to get. And you know what? So I don't think it's about getting the kids here. I don't have to have five other schools that I got to fight over, you know, in the sense of, hey, if you want a good baseball, you come in the training league. If you're from La Mirada or you're from Whittier or you're from the South Bay, this is where you want to come.
Is it an advantage in a way? And you know, we talk about the disadvantage from the travel standpoint of playing the rest of the time. I mean, from Bosco to Jay Sarah is a heck of a bus ride, that's for sure. But is there, right, but there could be an advantage in a way of being the only L.A. County team in this Trinity League.
I think so, because I really don't have to fight Jay Sarah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things going on between Jay Sarah and modern-day Orange Lou. I'm sure those three teams are fighting each other for guys, and you know, our parents just have their way. Hey, I want to go to Modern Day. Hey, you know, depending. But you know what? You got three good baseball, four good baseball programs down in that area. Which one are you going to pick? You got to go find one that's the best fit for you.
Where?
It's just us up here. We're on our own little island up here, kind of, you know, to say a little bit, which is a good thing for us. So I think to get our guys, it's a little easier.
Final couple of minutes with Don Barbara, head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. Is there a natural rival? Does Bosco have a natural rival? The leagues have been bandied about over the years, and the Trinity's been around now for a little bit, but does Bosco really have a natural rival?
I don't know in baseball, to be honest with you. I know in football, it's always been Bosco Modern Day.
Right.
Coach Negro's taken over. I don't know if we really do. I mean, the closest team to us is Servite. I don't know if it's a rival for us or whatever, but I don't think we have kind of a natural rival. I know every time we play Orange Lou, it gets a little crazy. I mean, it's competitive,
right.
Like it was on Friday.
Right.
But it, you know, it's no, I don't think we really do, to be honest. No, it's not like a, you know, a USC-UCLA deal at all.
Right.
Not one bit.
Right. You've traveled around. You've seen baseball in other parts of the country. Are we truly seeing the best baseball in the country played right here in Southern California?
I believe so. I've seen some teams come out. You've seen the IMGs come out or the Hoovers come out and what Orange Lutheran did back in North Carolina. And I would have to say yes. We haven't gone into Texas. Texas doesn't, you know, we don't play too many Texas teams. I don't think ever. I'd like to, but that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't know if anybody would ever do that. But, you know, we played some Florida teams and people think IMG was the best team in Florida. Well, we beat them 7-3, and, you know, they were one of the best because three-quarters of their team was committed, you know, then I feel pretty good about where we stand and what Orange Lutheran did in the Classic out in North Carolina. I think you would have to say California.
Well, as we record here, the Braves are 8-7, 1-2 in league, and when this show airs, when people hear this, the Modern Day series will have been over, and I think that'll be a big test because obviously, you know, Modern Day's looking to get themselves back on track. They've had a rough season. You guys can catapult yourself into the rest of the league. So this middle part of the league really tells a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, the next two or three weeks are really big for us. And, you know, we got to come out and play, you know, with Modern Day, then Santa Margarita, we got to come out and play some real good baseball.
Well, it's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure, as we always talk about. And then you finish with Servite and Jay Sarah. Coach, we want to wish you luck the rest of the way. We'll be following the Braves. You guys are the defending champions. I think that means something. And teams are going to have to come get you. So if they want to win that championship.
They
are too. Yeah, it's for sure. Coach, thanks again. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, that's Don Barbara, the head baseball coach at St. John Bosco High School. We'll take a break here on Catholic Sports View. We'll be right back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson. We thank you for joining us once again this week. And we want to welcome into the program right now, Tia Meza. She is the athletic director at Modern Day High School. Lots of stuff going on this time of year at Modern Day, as there is always. And Tia, thanks for joining us one more time here on the program.
Of course. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to talk about the annual golf classic that's coming up. I want to hit that right off the top because I know that's a huge event for Modern Day and for the athletic department. Kind of give us the details and a little bit of the history, you know, behind this great event.
Of course. So this is actually our 47th year of the event. It's an amazing opportunity for, you know, our parents and our coaches and our student athletes really to kind of get off the normal court and field and pool and go out and hit the links and play a little golf and kind of just more of a social event. It's also really our biggest, you know, fundraiser for the department as a whole. So we use it to kind of help run our department and, you know, be able to pay for the things that we need, as well as help our, you know, help our programs out when they have things that they need help with. You know, every year we try to find some sort of kind of, I want to say almost like a fund a need, right? Where we are really taking the needs and trying to fundraise for that. So like this year, we're looking at adding in some hydration stations into the gym where kids, I mean, they're all carrying those water bottles around now.
Right.
So where they can fill them and make sure that we're keeping, you know, hydration at the forefront of for our student athletes. And also we're looking at some nutrition things for our kids. Just kind of trying to take that next level. I mean, we have great strength conditioning, great coaches, and kind of what's that next piece so we can help our student athletes. So we're really looking forward to that. And we have a full field, so we're looking at, you know, over 145 golfers, and it's going to be a great day at Newport Beach Country Club. So we're excited.
Yeah, certainly. And we'll give some more details on it. Well, again, that's coming up, you know, very shortly here. So if you want to get involved, people can contact you or contact the athletic department.
Definitely contact us. And if they want to be a sponsor or be out on the golf course and find some ways to communicate and reach out to our community, that's the best way to do it. So contact us and we'll get you guys involved.
Great. We'll get that out on our Twitter feed as well following the show. Obviously, in the public school realm, you know, there's state funding, and then that usually isn't enough. So, you know, there's a lot of fundraising that goes on there as well. Obviously, what we cover here on our show is all private schools, and you're one of those private schools. So much of the funding has to come from events like this because, you know, that state funding is not what's going into putting things together at Modern Day.
Correct. I mean, you have obviously our tuition, but that really does go more towards the academic piece of, you know, Modern Day High School. So finding ways to continue to give our student athletes, you know, some of the best facilities and best opportunities is really what we look for. So this is a great way for us to do that.
Who's involved? People who are going to be involved in this, who are they going to be able to come out and see being part of the Golf Classic?
So all of our coaches are either playing in the, you know, golf tournament, or they'll actually be running a hole. So our, you know, parents, alumni, future parents, all those kind of people are able to come out and play. And then our student athletes also will work hole. So we have like a longest drive that we have some of our golfers that'll be on our closest, you know, pub. We even have like a football toss. So we're looking forward to just a great fun event.
My money's on Segesman. I don't know why. I think that guy, water polo coach Chris Segesman, I think that guy looks like a pretty good golfer to me. So.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely getting out there.
Good deal. Once again, contact Modern Day if you want to be part of that Monday, April 30th, Newport Beach Country Club. Big event, and always fun to be part of anything that's going on with Modern Day High School. In other news within the athletic department, and you are the athletic director, Tia Meza, again, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You're in charge of this humongous undertaking. Modern Day is a worldwide school, as we know, on the map everywhere. CIF has decided that schools that IMG, some of these schools that are kind of sports factories in a way, for lack of a better term, are not going to be able to participate with member schools anymore. And that's a thing that has come down recently. I imagine everybody was in on the discussion, but I don't imagine this decision was come too lightly.
No, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, we look at it as a member school and kind of for CIF. This really is, high school is education-based. And so some of the academy schools, you know, they travel and will play probably double the amount of games that we play, or even sometimes triple.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not, some of these schools are not part of their state association. So they're, you know, not bound to some of the same rules, whether it's fifth-year kids or transfers or how kids are eligible. So really trying to level that playing field. And so CIF just kind of took the stance that, you know, they want these schools to be able to be equal in that respect. So, you know, obviously private schools are sometimes on a different radar, you know, because of we bring kids from all over. I mean, we don't have a attendance boundary, so to speak. But we're all still on the same playing field. We still follow CIF rules. We still have transfer rules, academic eligibility, credits, those kind of things. So I really think that this is a good step and kind of just keeps everybody on the same page. And hopefully these, you know, great schools athletically will then look at what they do and then become part of their state membership so we can continue to play on some of these great teams. Because obviously at Modern Day, we go out and we play the Oak Hills. And this year our basketball team played Mountain Verde Academy, and so we do a lot of national traveling, and we enjoy that. I mean, obviously, we have the opportunity to do those things, and our teams compete at a high level. And so we hope that some of these schools will kind of look at what they do and be able to kind of fall in line, I guess, with their state associations and be able to compete against us again.
Yeah, it's one of the things I like to talk about with coaches and with you as well in our interview, is that I think what's sometimes missed, and we cover it here, we're obviously a sports show and we're talking about sports all the time, and sports are a big part of Modern Day and the other schools in the Trinity League. But I think sometimes what's missed is the academic component, and the fact that, you know, these aren't just great athletes at these schools, that these are good, you know, students as well. And the GPAs on most of these teams are very high. These are kids that are excelling in the classroom as well as on the athletic field. It's not just an all-athletic thing at Modern Day, certainly.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have kids that, I mean, we were looking through our scholar athletes for senior awards, and it's amazing to me where these kids are going to go to school. I mean, Princeton and Yale and
right.
Harvard. And we're talking, you know, our elite student athletes. I mean, our CIF Water Polo Player of the Year is going to Stanford. You know, he's got over a 4.4 GPA. I mean, Spencer Freeman's going to Harvard, who is CIF Player of the Year on our basketball team. And he's, I mean, it's just, it's so amazing for these student athletes. I mean, even volleyball, from our females, volleyball players that are competing. It's just, to be a kid today and have this huge academic load and then compete on a national stage, I'm always in awe of our student athletes and how they really handle those things.
Yeah, it's so true. Back on that other subject, your football team will play IMG Academy this year, and it was just announced the girls basketball team will play Christ the King, which is a huge school as well. And these are huge games that have national, you know, ramifications, and because your teams are obviously nationally ranked as well. Explain to us, give us a little bit of the process that goes into contacting a school, maybe on the other side of the country or in another state, and trying to put together these kinds of things. I imagine there's a lot of emails and phone calls for you back and forth.
Definitely. You know, most of the time our coaches are the ones that are, you know, looking at their schedule, because they know their teams, they know the personnel they have, and they've got relationships with other coaches. So a lot of the times they're the one that are kind of spearheading those contests, and then we just kind of on the back end will help fulfill contracts, follow up with different parts of that, whether it's the travel piece or insurance and stuff. And we discuss it, you know, making sure that it, you know, is this the right decision? Do we, you know, does the timing work? What, you know, what are we looking at? Funding, you know, all those kind of other things that kind of go outside of just wins and losses, making sure that it's really, you know, that it really is in the best interest for our kids to do that. But, I mean, we are so fortunate that our kids can compete and are on that national level stage. So we look forward to being able to go out and really push ourselves to the highest.
There's so much more travel involved. You know, I know when when I was in high school, it was very rare for anyone to even play outside of your section or almost outside of the county sometimes. But now you got teams that are taking trips, to other parts of the country and having these kind of trips. Are these tough to put together, or is it at the point now where it's been done so much? You know, it's kind of like there's a formula to it.
You know, definitely. I mean, our teams are well traveled across the board. I mean, we have teams that travel to Hawaii or North Carolina, or they're going to, Chicago or New York. So for the most part, our teams are used to doing the travel piece. It's, it's great kind of team bonding and experience for the kids. But I think really a lot of it is an attribute to our academic piece. I mean, we have our students, they're on iPads. And we use, a lot of our stuff is accessible kind of wherever they're at. So that kind of gives us that ability to go out and still travel and play those games and know that our kids academically can still handle the rigors. Because the biggest thing is, in college, they're going to go out and continue to travel and have to balance that. So this is a great learning opportunity to kind of start that piece.
The Southern Section recently, decided to, I guess, relax the rules or kind of take away, what's known as the athletically motivated transfer. Are you happy with what, the Southern Section has come down with and what those new rules represent?
Well, I think it kind of makes it more black and white with things, because athletically motivated is just so vague. I mean, so someone who ultimately, people who are transferring, they're leaving for some reason, right? They're not happy at a school.
Correct.
And so having that opportunity to make a choice, I think, is really is what should be allowed. And then, of course, there are rules. And if you have a sit-out period, or if you've done it multiple times, then you're not eligible, and, some of those different things. So I think that this kind of cleans up, because it allows it to be really more black and white. If you transfer, no matter what the reason, here's what's going to happen. And that makes it a little easier, I think, for families to understand and for athletic directors and coaches to really be able to enforce that and get behind it.
And for those that don't know, Tia is one of the legends of modern-day high school. You're a student there, played softball there, national player of the year. Does that give you maybe a little more insight into helping run this department now that you're on the other side of things and coming in and doing the job, because you're a monarch, and you know the lay of the land, and you got to participate in sports at such a high level?
Well, I think it really, obviously it's very personal to me. I've been a product of modern day high school as a student, as an athlete, and then I was a coach there for 5 years. It really allows me to kind of know, okay, here's what things are, here's how we do things, and helps with my coaches. They all know that I've been in their shoes. I can help, we can walk through situations and I can help them. And that really, I think, builds a lot of trust between all of us. So I think it's such a great opportunity when you have people who know your school. I mean, when you have alumni who work, they're more vested. I mean, it's, like I said, it's home, it's personal, and you kind of give everything you have. Not just a job.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think it really lends a unique perspective, obviously, to doing the job. One of the things I wanted to finally hit on with you was I just read something somewhere. And there's a football camp coming up or something up at Santa Ana Stadium. I just saw something on Twitter about it.
So typically during spring ball, college coaches obviously are going to come and watch our kids during practices. And so this is just kind of a formal way to bring everybody in for one day where they can come in and the coaches can really highlight and showcase our student athletes. And so just kind of one day to really kind of focus on them and have that kind of a unique experience where they get that opportunity. So we're looking forward to the first time doing it and kind of bring the coaches on and show them and have that opportunity to kind of have coaches interact with each other and see our kids.
Is there a place where people can get more information about that as well?
It's really just a practice, so it's kind of more, it's really kind of more of a closed kind of internal event.
Got it.
We're just excited to have it and to be able to, give our kids opportunities to be seen by colleges, because obviously, they're student athletes and we're helping these kids get to the next level.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. Hey, Tia, I want to thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, and good luck. And as always, we're following the Monarchs, and we're looking forward to the end of this season, and the next school year is rolling right around before we know it.
Definitely. Thanks so much, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Tia Meza, the athletic director at Modern Day High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org, and we'll see you on May 4th.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Let's welcome into the program Les Lukacs. He is the state director of Prep Baseball Report, and prepbaseballreport.com is the website. Highly recommend it. Get on there if you're a baseball fan, especially if you're a high school baseball fan. Get on there. So much great information. Les, thanks for joining us again this week on the program.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back. Excited to talk some Trinity League Baseball with you.
Absolutely. It's our favorite subject here this time of year, Trinity League Baseball, and just as what we knew was going to happen, right? I mean, this league is so crazy. You never know how it's going to turn out, and it's not disappointing us this year, as we have, you know, two teams at the top. Orange Lutheran, we knew would be there. Who knew Santa Margarita would be at the top with them, the way things were shaking out early in the year?
Right. You know, I got a chance to see the Eagles last week, and, you know, they've got some young talent on that team, and first-year coach Chris Malik's doing just a great job and, you know, kind of continuing that tradition that was set forth there by Coach McConney for the last several years. And, you know, those guys have really bought into what he's teaching, and they're an exciting young team to watch.
Yeah, and it's so funny you mentioned that, because I know we were talking about that with Jay Sarah. Kind of the same thing. A younger team. Coach K had told us, you know, not really knowing what to expect from these guys, kind of a young, loose group of guys. And Jay Sarah, you know, with that big win, obviously, in the tournament a couple of weeks ago, in the Boris Classic, you know, kind of put themselves back on the map. But, hey, now all of a sudden they're 2-2, a couple of wins, a couple of losses in league. And we talked about how it was such a gauntlet once you get into this Trinity League schedule.
Right. They got really hot there during the Boris Classic and swept through that thing, much to a lot of people's surprise. You know, I don't think anybody had them winning that thing.
No.
You know, then they go out and they take two or three from a really good Servite team, you know, last week, and run into, you know, what will be a first round pick last night. And, you know, you just kind of take it on the chin there when you're facing a guy like Cole Wynn. But, you know, that's a team that, like you said, they're pretty exciting. We didn't know what to expect. A lot of young guys. I know Coach K told me that he's kind of taking a little bit of a hands-off approach with this group, really letting his assistants kind of mold them.
Right.
And he's stepping in where he feels fit. And it seems to be working for them. They're playing some pretty good baseball right now.
Yeah, it's so true. He told me the same thing a couple of weeks ago. Right. Just, you know, this group kind of reacts best. And I said, you know, is that really the sign of a coach who knows what he's doing, that he's willing to step back and say, hey, you know, maybe it's a better fit if somebody else comes up and maybe is the voice. And that's really, I think, the difference with some of these coaches in this Trinity League, is that they know exactly the voice their players need to hear.
Right. And, you know, Brett's one of the smartest baseball guys you'll ever meet. And, you know, when he told me that, I said, you know, that's really interesting. And it shows a lot of growth and development on his part, too, because I think if you go back 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, there's no chance that he does that. And you know, a lot of people labeled him as a control freak, but, you know, he's just a guy that, you know, grew up playing at Mater Dei, played at Cal State Fullerton, you know, knows one way of doing things. And it shows a lot of maturation on his part as a head coach to be able to take that step back and put a lot on his assistant's plate, too.
Les Lukacs joining us. PrepBaseballReport.com is the website. Scouring the state of California for talent, not hard to find here in the state. Plenty of baseball talent. You mentioned Cole Wynn, and I want to kind of touch on him. I was so impressed when I saw him out at the Boris Classic. You know, obviously there's a reason why he's on you know, so many of the top lists. He's got the good stuff. But the one thing I noticed about Cole was his ability to repeat his delivery, and that's so huge for any pitcher. And I just thought, man, he's leaps and bounds above a lot of other guys I've seen this year in that ability to just repeat his mechanics over and over.
Yeah, you know, and when you're able to do that and you know, you're blessed with the ability that he's blessed with and, you know, are able to touch 97 miles per hour, that certainly helps. But, you know, I've been talking to a lot of scouts lately about Cole, and, you know, the majority of them have him going in the top third of the draft coming up here in June. Some of them having him going in the middle third of the draft, and, you know, a couple of guys have him going in the lower third. But, you know, one thing is agreed upon by all of these scouts is that you talk to Coach Borba and you talk to some of his teammates. I have not had the opportunity to talk to Cole. You know, they all to a man say he's an even better person than he is a pitcher, which is, you know, really awesome to hear in today's day and age where, you know, a lot of athletes are kind of really into themselves. And, you know, Cole is willing to do whatever it takes to help his team win. And that was demonstrated when they were out at the NHSI, you know, with some of the at-bats he took, you know, just kind of putting the ball in play where, you know, instead of looking to drive it, you know, either out of the park or just take the ground ball to the right side to move a runner along. Just the little things, the game within the game, if you will, really speaks volumes about, you know, his character and who he is as a person. And I think that's really, in addition to his abilities on the mound, is really elevating his stock in the draft process.
Well, he's got a little bulldog in him, too. When I interviewed him after that that opening game in the Boris, he said that Coach wanted to take him out of the game entirely when he was done pitching. And he said, no, I want to hit Coach. And he ends up hitting a two-run bomb in that next at-bat. So he goes, see, I told you, Coach. Yes. So, that, yeah, there's a kid just full of confidence. And obviously, right, sky's the limit for him. Some lucky Major League team's going to get a chance to draft him in about a month and a half, a couple of months here. That draft is right around the corner. You know, you've been doing this a long time. Less. You've seen plenty of talent up and down this state. Are there times when you look at a kid and you see something different than maybe what others are seeing? You know, is there sometimes a disconnect within the community where you go, wow, how come nobody else is kind of hitting on this kid and I see something more in him than maybe some other people do?
Well, yeah, you know, I do. And, you know, fortunately, I'm in a position where, you know, I'm not tied to an organization that's going to give significant amount of money to a player. So my opinion could vary a little bit from what other scouts see. You know, and it works both ways, you know, where sometimes, you know, some scouts are a little high on guys. And, you know, and for me personally, I either just don't like, you know, if it's a pitcher, you know, say the delivery or some of the mechanics or, you know, for me, I'm a big body language guy. And when I see a guy, you know, that runs out there, you know, is the first guy to greet a teammate coming off the field, you know, picks up a guy's glove and, you know, takes it out to a spot for him. You know, just the little things for me speak volumes, you know, and it kind of goes back to that character. You know, conversely, when you see a guy that, you know, that doesn't do those things, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad character guy. It just means that, you know, maybe at that particular moment, you know, his focus is elsewhere. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've missed on plenty of guys. I think if you do this long enough, you're going to miss on plenty of guys. But, you know, then there are the guys where, you know, some of the big boys, so to speak, the MLB teams miss, you know, where we may have had them rated a little higher than they did and we were proved right.
You know, it would be easy to say we're kind of in the dog days maybe here. You know, kids have been playing, you know, a long time. But it really is it's a short schedule in baseball. You know, we'd all love to see a longer season. I know we've talked about that before, and so many of us would like to see a little bit of a longer season. And obviously, a state playoff would be great as well at some point down the line. But there's really no chance to really catch your breath, especially in this Trinity League where, you know, every single game. There's so many sports where you go, well, maybe you lose a game here and there. You cannot afford to lose a single game in this Trinity League schedule, or you will be left behind.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, 15 games, and they're dogfights. I mean, each and every one of those games is just that. It's a dogfight. I mean, you look at, you know, the first game of the season in the Trinity League season last Tuesday, you know, you saw Olu lose, you saw Modern Day lose, and you saw Servite lose. And those are three teams that, you know, everybody kind of had picked towards the top. Now, granted, Modern Day has scuffled quite a bit this year, so maybe coming into league, they weren't necessarily there. But certainly before the season started, those are the three teams that just about everybody had at or near the top when it came to their predictions for the league. You know, and I put a tweet out saying, well, if the first night is any indication, we sure are in for a treat. You know, and here we are four games in with the fifth game coming tonight. And, you know, we're looking at 10 games after today, and it's going to go by really, really quickly. And, you know, a team like Modern Day, unfortunately, has dug themselves a little bit of a hole. You know, they're 0-4 in league. You know, they're facing an uphill battle if they want to, you know, ensure themselves a playoff spot.
We talked to Don Barbara early on in the show, and head coach at St. John Bosco. A year ago, you know, Bosco was kind of that team that was kind of maybe laying in the weeds a little bit, jumped on everybody, and ended up winning the league. Can Santa Margarita be that team this year? Can they be that good?
You know, it certainly helps when you have a guy like Chandler Champlain on the mound, and he's also getting it done at the plate for them. I think he was something like 7-for-11 at
right.
the plate last week. Including, you know, an 8-strikeout performance against Modern Day. So when you got a guy like that, it certainly helps. You know, they have some talent. You know, they have Matthew McClure is a sophomore pitcher who I got a chance to see last week against Modern Day. You know, he's 6'4", and he runs it up there 85, 87, and he's pretty good. You know, then you mix in Alex Schreier. It's one of those things, right? It's the old adage on any given day,
Yeah. Anybody
can beat anybody. But in this particular league, it is so true. The thing that separates the top teams is the depth on the mound. And from what I've seen, and I've had a chance to see every team in the league so far this year, every team has quality pitching depth. So that's going to make it, you know, a game of who can make the least mistakes in any particular game, because that's what it's going to come down to, you know, unless, of course, you know, a guy like Cole Wynn is on. You know, and he has a performance like he did last night where he's going to be really, really tough to beat.
Again, Les Lukacs joining us, prepbaseballreport.com, at Les Lukacs. You mentioned your Twitter feed before, a great Twitter follow as well. I did see that tweet before, and I thought the same thing. I thought, man, if this is how it is out of the gate, right, we're in for something special. I got to touch on Modern Day really quick because I know it's a head-scratcher. I'm sure head coach Bert Call is probably pulling out his hair this season trying to figure out why his team is not only 0-4 in league, but 5-13 overall. Boy, this is just anything but a usual Modern Day season.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, I like I said, I had a chance to see them last week. And, you know, the one thing that really stuck out to me, and having just watched this team for the last 10 to 12 years or so, is, you know, the one thing that to me is missing at Modern Day is a guy like, you know, Corey Hahn or a guy like Ty Moore,
mm-hmm.
a guy that you know this is his team when your best player is your hardest worker. It elevates everybody's game on that team. And those guys were not only leaders on the field, but they were vocal leaders. They're leaders off the field. And that seems to be missing at Modern Day. Again, I'm not inside the program. Everybody seems to have an opinion on what's happening there. You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Bert about it, but I tend to agree with you. He's got to be, you know, struggling to try to figure out what's going on because, you know, they have an abundance of talent, too, if you look at just the number of Division I commits they have on that roster. And even some of their uncommitted players are really, really good. I will tell you this, just having seen them a couple times this year, I think that freshman Alonzo Treadwell has a chance to be that guy because even last week when I saw them, he was pretty vocal, right, trying to get his guys going. Joey Nicolai is another guy, a junior headed to USB. You know, he was pretty vocal just trying to get something out of the team when they were down a little bit. So I think those guys are there, and we may see that in the future. I certainly didn't expect this sort of season out of them, and I can almost assure you that we won't see this sort of season from them for a long time to come.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, right? This is, you know, I mean, everybody's due for a bad one once in a while. Maybe this is just Modern Day's turn to have the bad one and turn the page. Too bad for the seniors, though, that have to endure this tough season. They're just not scoring runs this year, right? And I think they thought that was going to be the least of their worries was scoring runs, and they're just not scoring many runs. I mean, it just happens in baseball. That's baseball, right? I mean, that's just the sport of baseball.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. You know, the offense was, when I've seen them a couple times, it's been a little inconsistent. You know, it's not so much the scoring of the runs. It's more so the just stringing together hits,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the old adage is hitting is contagious.
Yeah.
You know, one guy gets a hit, the next guy gets a hit. All of a sudden, everybody in the lineup feels like, hey, I'm going to get a hit. And the two times I've seen them, they just haven't been able to really string together hits. You know, which naturally would lead to base runners and then obviously runs scored. So I think that's been their problem is they're just not been able to really string together a bunch of hits to kind of really get that offensive spark that they've needed. But you're right. I mean, the record is what it is. And, you know, you certainly anticipate that given the amount of talent on that roster.
Yeah, so true. I'll put you on the spot just really quick if you had to guess today. And we said there's a couple weeks to go. Who's going to win this Trinity?
Oh, man, you know, you are putting me on the spot. And, you know, it's tough to go against Orange Lutheran at this point, given what they have in Cole Wynn and given what they have in the guys behind him and, you know, Max Ratchick and Christian Rodriguez. So I think the bullpen's really strong. And the offense, you know, I heard a post-game interview last night where they said that they've been facing a bunch of left-handed hitters in a row, so they kind of changed their approach. And we saw what it led to last night, 11-0 win against Jay Serra.
Yeah.
You know, if they're able to take what they're learning in practice that quickly and turn it over into results in games, that's going to be a really, really tough team to beat moving forward. So, you know, today with 11 games to play, I'm going to go ahead and go with Orange Lutheran to win the league.
Not a bad pick. We won't hold you to it just in case it doesn't happen, because I've made many predictions too that, you know, we just never know in the Trinity League. That's what's great about covering the Trinity. Just you never know.
Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk again before the end of league in case I need to change my pick. Right?
We'll do that. We will do that. Especially we will do that. Les, want to thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you soon about everything. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk about how this league ended, and then it'll be playoff time before we know it. So we thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Les Lukacs. Of course, the website again is prepbaseballreport.com. I can't recommend it any higher than that. Get on there. If you're a high school baseball fan, get on there and check out all the great information on there. Quick break here on Catholic Sports U, and we'll be right back. Stay with us here. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. In an increasingly secular and strained world, Catholic schools provide a safe and secure education environment with faith and family at its core. Our students are instilled with profound faith, deep humility, and inspiring integrity that they will carry with them. Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and this is where athletics meets faith. Well, we want to remind you again about the Conference on Business Ethics coming up on May the 4th. The Orange Catholic Foundation sponsors that each and every year. And we're talking about Cardinal Dolan being a part of this. Father Dave Dwyer from the Busted Halo Show, if you're familiar with that. He is going to be the MC. And the show is also honoring this year Bruce Rawlinson, the head football coach at Mater Dei High School. And we talked earlier on with Hank Evers. He's the Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation. And we're talking about the Business Ethics Breakfast that's coming up May the 4th right here in Orange County. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun because, as we've already heard, Cardinal Dolan is the keynote speaker. We know Father Dave Dwyer from the Busted Halo Show on Sirius XM is the MC, going to be part of this morning. You talked about it. Last year it was a tough act to follow with Patricia Heaton and Vince Scully, but I think in some ways you've topped it this year. I don't envy you for next year. We won't even talk about
no,
next year yet.
Please, please, we're going to wait until maybe at least May 5th, all right?
We'll try to figure out what you can do to top having a cardinal involved in the festivities, because what a fun and what a great speaker he is, too. He's got his own show on Sirius XM as well, Cardinal Dolan, and which I listen to often. It's he's such a great dynamic speaker.
Conversations with the Cardinal.
Yeah,
it is. It's a wonderful program.
It really is. But I know near and dear to the hearts of our listeners out there that listened to us, Trinity League, they are obviously know all about one of the other honorees here, and that is the head football coach at Mater Dei High School, Bruce Rawlinson. The legendary Bruce Rawlinson, going to be part of this morning as well. How are you able to bring, Coach Rallo, as he's affectionately known to so many, into the fold here?
I got to tell you, it was brilliant, but it wasn't my brilliance at all. It was the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit has guided this whole process, not just this year, but always. Mm-hmm. And I look at this one, you know, Bruce Rawlinson. Holy cow. Number one, this guy has a 287-33-2 record, right? He has 287 wins, 32 losses.
Right.
That's all.
It's crazy.
You know, that, he's coached 55 players who've won All-Star honors. That's really impressive. I know a lot of people think, oh yeah, modern day. Well, he's brought out Matt Barkley and Matt Leinart, right. But he's brought out a lot more. I mean, just great, great players. But more importantly, you know, these are names that we know. But I think about what he's done in the lives of those kids. And they were kids when he had them. And he worked with kids and he turned them into young men. And, you know, he had a huge effect on every one of them. That to me is amazing in and of itself. And to hear him speak, he's fun. You know, anybody who's heard him speak, his voice, I mean, he's the quintessential coach. He's got the gruff, rough voice, you know, and just the way he speaks, his mannerisms, he's perfect. I mean, if you were a casting director looking for the ideal coach, you'd pick him.
Yeah.
You would. You'd
right.
have
He's
to.
He's right in essential casting, right?
He's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing is this year he was named the National High School Coaches Association Coach of the Year.
Right.
And, you know, that's big news. It was USA Today and, you know, it's all over national news. Well, you know, he's also, oh my gosh, how many years has he been there? I'm not even sure. But it's like since 1989.
Yep.
Yeah, since 1980. Wow, think about that. That's huge. So anyway, here you've got a guy that's a role model, a father figure. He's been a life guide for hundreds of young men. And that would be what, 28 years?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, 20 yeah. for 28
Almost
years.
Almost 30 years, yeah, yeah. As the head coach at modern day, right. And I've done numerous stories with Coach over the years, and I agree with you. I think the biggest impact he's had, we know all the big names, right? But I know
sure.
Some of his most proud achievements are those kids that we don't know as well, but the kids he helped, you know, get into a college somewhere, who come back years later and say, Coach, thank you for everything you did for me. You know, I'm a successful businessman now, or I'm married, I have a family, and I, you know, it all started because of being part of that team and part of that program at modern day. And those, I know those are the stories that are near and dear to him as well, to know that he's had an impact on kids like that.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Those are the ones that are probably far more important to him than the big names. Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it.
Every great coach, right. Those are the stories that really mean so much more as well. To have this event here, it's become such a huge event. Does it surprise you at all that it's become this quick, such a huge event, and the number one breakfast event in Orange County?
I don't know if it's a surprise, but I have to tell you, I am incredibly grateful. I mean, I thank God all the time for all these successes, and there are so many through the Orange Catholic Foundation. And this being one of the top, yeah, for me. But again, I mentioned that before. I feel as if the hand of God is on what we do.
Yeah.
It really is across the board because so many successes have come our way. And it just seems, to me, almost unnatural. So, yeah, maybe I am surprised. But it's just, it's marvelous.
Yeah.
It really is.
Hank Eber joining us again this week on Catholic Sports View, Director of Development and Communications with the Orange Catholic Foundation. Now, we don't want to forget the two gentlemen that are being honored here as well. A big part of the morning as well, because with all the big names, you know, we have some people that have really, you know, dug down within the community here and really shown through what it really means, you know, to be an ethical business person here, you know, in the Orange County area. And that's really what a big part of this breakfast is about.
It really is. The bishop actually goes back to Bishop Todd Brown. And carrying forth Bishop Van awards what's called the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. That's, you know, when you look at it, wow, that's something special. Because here, I'll just share with you what we look at. So integral to this conference are these two leaders that we select. We start with a long list, work down to a short list. We do vet very carefully these individuals to make sure that they come from the business community, and their qualifications have to be that they're being recognized as being successful in the business community. Well, there's a lot of people like that, but holding a CEO position or being an owner or high-ranking executive in a company with a large number of employees. That means that they have had the opportunity to, again, affect change and affect, touch them in a sense with character, with ethics, et cetera. They need to be dedicated and demonstrably dedicated to ethical business practices, demonstrate a positive example of ethical practice in all aspects of his or her life, right? So that trickles down to their family and what they do in their own time, their personal time. They need to have a well-established record of exhibiting ethical leadership qualities. And that includes having a history of treating employees fairly and then, of course, being a practical Catholic. And I think we all know being a practical Catholic means being an engaged Catholic, right? So, you know, you look at it and oh, my gosh, last year we had Annette Walker from St. Joseph Health, Chris Furman from Ventura Foods. We've had so many. Marie Gray from St. John Knits and Gray's, very well known.
Right.
Ransperry. You know, just the list goes on and on, but, you know, it goes all the way back. The first ones were in 2003, and the first one was Carl Karcher. I think we all know that name, or if you don't, he was the founder of Carl's Jr.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure that Carl would appreciate seeing the quality of ads, the ethical the ads that are shown on television these days. But anyway, he was a great man.
Yes.
No question about that.
No question at all.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have the other, oh, and this year, that's most important. So this year we have two outstanding individuals. We have Tim Buckley. Tim, he is the CEO and sole shareholder of Vintage Design and Newwood Design in South County. He's a member of Our Lady Queen of Angels, and he serves as a Eucharistic minister there. He's a member of Legatus, a graduate of Servite High School. And he's an incredible swimmer. I think I don't have the note here. Yeah, here we go. I know he's a world record holder, and that'll be in the program that we print, but a world record holder when it comes to swimming.
Wow.
So from an athletic perspective, he's, by the way, he's in really good shape, too.
There you go. Another athletic angle for us here on the show, right?
Yeah. Tim Strader. Tim Strader is, again, remarkable individual. He is the attorney for the citizens who formed the city of Irvine in 1970. Now, you know, can you imagine being the attorney, not one of the attorneys, the attorney who is responsible for founding the city of Irvine? That, to me, is pretty amazing. It really is. But he has done so many things. He's the chairman of Starpoint Ventures, consultant to Lennar and Five Point Communities. That's the Great Park program down in South County. He's been on the board of directors of the Seagram Center for the Arts since 1979. And he's chairman of the Irvine Health Foundation and a member of the UCI Foundation Board of Trustees. He's one of the founders of Santa Margarita Catholic High School as well, one of the founding members of Legatus. He's a member of the Order of Malta. He's with the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre and a member of Our Lady Queen of Angels Parish. So
Kind of a big guy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, wow. Big shoes, you know, big shoes these guys have. So, yeah, I certainly, I'm going to have a difficult time always filling those year after year, you know, to get, but really we have a lot of wonderful people. Absolutely terrific people here in the diocese. And that's what makes it so great.
Right.
You know, that's what makes all of this possible.
You never know who's sitting in the pew next to you at church.
That's a fact. That's so true. Yeah.
To let everybody know one more time when it is. And
please. Yeah. So the Conference on Business and Ethics is coming up on Friday morning, May 4th at Hotel Irvine. It starts at 7:30 in the morning, and I guarantee you'll be out of there by 11:15 if you want. We're always punctual. And if you'd like to either purchase a ticket or preferably sponsor or advertise, the opportunities are all there. It's real easy. OrangeCatholicFoundation.org. Just go to OrangeCatholicFoundation.org. and you're all set.
And may the fourth be with you.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That's from our producer, Jimmy G, over
Yay,
here.
Hey, Jimmy G.
Gotta get a Star Wars joke in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, Hank, we want to thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View.
Thank you
so much for letting everybody know about this important morning and just a huge event that it continues to be here in the Diocese of Orange. God bless you. Thanks again.
Thank you, and
good luck. We look forward to a great morning.
What a privilege to be here. Thank you. God bless you.
That will wrap up the show for this week. I want to thank Hank Evers, Don Barbara, Les Lukacs, and Tia Meza for joining us this week on the program. You can join us in a lot of different ways. CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. And CatholicSV is our handle on Twitter. You can get us on Twitter as well. Give us some feedback and let us know how we're doing here. And if you want to listen to this show or any of the others, simply go to the website, OCCatholic.com/radio. Just click on our show icon right there and you can catch up on all the shows and stuff you may have missed along the way. Lots of good interviews there to listen into. I am Bob Gibson, and we thank you again for joining us this week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith here on Relevant Radio. We'll see you next week.